Today's reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Well, do keep your Bibles open, and we're in 1 John 4 today. And I just wanted to start here with a question about kind of emojis. Now, I think, you know, some people are pretty anti-sending emojis. Some are very pro-emojis, aren't they? I don't know where you would stand. Here is a question, though, for those of you guys who are a bit younger. I want to just test what your skills of emoji discernment are like, okay? So here we go. I'll show an emoji. And if you can, you try to shout out the kind of the what it's conveying. Okay, what is it conveying? Here we go. Emoji number one. Great. Yeah, great. Okay, here we go. Okay. Oh. Crying with laughter. Yes, apparently it's one of the most popular emojis. You know, it's so funny. You're making me cry. This one's a good one. Winking is, it's a winking, you know, it's a kind of like a bit of a cheeky wink, maybe. You say something a bit rude, follow up with that, you'll be fine. This one, a bit of rolling of eyes going on here, maybe. Oh, goodness, I can't believe that happened. I love this, my favourite, always go for the sunglasses, that's cool. Say something, just say it, and then if you say it with some sunglasses, it's fine. Finally, this one, what does this one symbolise? Love. Love, love, love. Yes, a heart symbolizes love. We all know that. But here's the question today. What is love? What is it? It's inspired many a song, many a poem, many a Google search. What is love? Is it that thing that you feel for others that you care very much about? Perhaps for your parents? Is that what love is? What you feel for your close friend? What a man and a woman feel for each other when they get married? Is that love? We go to the dictionary to say, well, look, let's define it from the dictionary. The dictionary says this: love is an intense feeling of deep affection. It's our feelings of deep affection. And I guess that's why we have a heart symbol to symbolize it. It's kind of inside. It's our feelings of affection for someone or something. Well, our question this morning is this: what is love? What really is it? And we're going to answer it with just one verse. We're going to see whether the heart is a good way of summarizing what love is. And the verse we're looking at is only verse 10. So Phoebe read for us so well, but it's verse 10 we're looking at. Let's look down at it again. On page 1227, 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What we're doing today is we're saying, look, John, Apostle John, one of Jesus' closest disciples, we're giving him the microphone and saying, John, could you tell us, please, what Jesus taught love was? And he says, sure, of course I will. This is what love is. And this is love, not that we love God. That's where he starts. So interesting. Those five words are pivotal. The point is this. When you think about love, any definition of love doesn't start with us. And this is love, not that we loved God. Yes, it's true. You might feel great love for your dad. You might feel great love for someone. And if you're a Christian, you might feel great love for God. I hope you do. Great love for Jesus. And that's all very well and good, but John says, don't mistake that for being what genuine love is. Don't say, oh yeah, I know what love is, I got it, I'm all over it, yeah, it's those feelings I have. No, what is love? Answer, God. God is love. He defines love. He is the definition of love. In a way, you could say that God has the copyright on love. To understand what love is, you go to God. You look to God. If you know God, then you know what love is. Now, who here has heard of the Hershey bar? Anyone heard of the Hershey bar? a hand up there from Phil, those guys here. Hershey bar is loved by millions. People who live in America, they think the Hershey bar is the best chocolate you could ever taste. It's so funny, because if you've actually ever tried a Hershey bar, it really doesn't taste good at all. I try to source a Hershey bar from Tesco, from Asda, from even Home Bargains. No, they don't stock it. They stock a slightly different version, because we all, in Britain, we know Hershey bar is not what chocolate's all about. We know, you've got even nicer versions, but like, and you can get Lindt and all the rest, but, you know, dairy milk. That is chocolate. You know, once you've tried dairy milk, you're never going to go back to Hershey bar. It's just not the real deal. So I had to do some other things. What else could I source? And I thought, well, does anyone like fizzy drinks around here? Anyone here is allowed to drink a fizzy drink by their parents? Who would like to come and volunteer and do a bit of a taste test for it? You up for tasting it? I have here some classic cola from Tesco's. Mm-mm, yeah, so there we go. All right, Mum and Dad, we'll drink this kind of nice beverage. Oh, look at that, bit fizzy. Okay, right. Okay, have a sip of that. Okay, it's quite fizzy. Yeah. How's that taste? Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's pretty good, yeah? Pretty good. Okay, now, how does it compare, though, to the original taste? Coca-Cola. Okay, you've got to tell them what. I hope you're going to give me the right answer for this, okay? It's quite important, otherwise the whole illustration just falls apart, okay? Here we go. Oh, okay, right. Ooh, give it a taste. What's that like? Got a bit more fizz. Does it taste better? Kind of, yeah, a bit, okay. Thanks, but no thanks. Okay, thank you. The point I was trying to make there, which Edward was sort of helping me with-ish, is that Coca-Cola is the real thing. That was the advertising slogan that they went with back in the 60s, I think, that any imitation is fake. It doesn't come close. This is the real deal. And when you've had this, Tesco's classic cola doesn't come anywhere close to being as good. And you might say, and so when it comes to love, you want to say, well, look, the real deal is God's love for us, not our love for him. You might be sitting there thinking, going, oh, I'm not sure I like this, Jim. What are you saying about my love for God? You're saying it's not for real? It's a cheap alternative? No, I'm not saying that. It's a good thing. It's right we have love in ourselves. But there's just a bit of a difference, a significant difference between God's love for us, our love for him. Here's the difference. The God we meet in the Bible is a God who is lovely. That's what he described. He is lovely. He is delightful. He is pure. He is kind. He is gracious. He is only good. Of course we love him. Of course we do. He is lovable. God's nature is very different to ours, because who does he love? He loves you and me. And we're actually not lovely, delightful, pure, kind. We don't only do what is good. No, in our heart of hearts, if we're honest, I hope we'd all admit it to some extent, you know, we can be pretty unkind. And we can think bad things about even our closest friends. And much of the time, the person we most care about is ourselves. It's me, not God or anyone else. In fact, there's one place, right at the start of the Bible, where God says he looks down on the world and he sees humanity in all its ugliness. And he's sorry he's made us, because we're so wicked, is the word the Bible uses, in our heart of hearts. But wonderfully, amazingly, the rest of the story of the Bible is that God loves us nonetheless. He loves us in our sin. An amazing thought. He loves us in our sin. Even though we are, spiritually speaking, ugly to God, he loves his people. That's the sort of God he is. And that's why his love is different to ours. His love is the real thing. What is love? We say God defines love. Now we're going to go on to the next point and say, well, look, God demonstrates love. We're thinking now about how somebody shows that they love somebody else. Well, in a way, we don't need to go further than this man to illustrate this principle. Anyone know who this chap is? Shout it out. Who is this? George, the smartest giant in town. Look at him. He's got a nice kind of shirt on there, a nice tie. Here it is. George, the smartest giant in town. And he is a very kind chap. If you've read the book, I hope you know he's a very kind chap, because what he does is he gets dressed up in a smart shirt, a smart pair of trousers, a smart belt, striped tie, some smart socks, and a smart pair of shiny shoes. And what he does is he goes around and he meets all kinds of different animals. So he meets a giraffe. He's meeting a giraffe. He's got a very cold neck. He's got a cold neck. So George very kindly gives him his tie. And then he goes on and he meets you may remember this. Actually, who else does he meet? Anyone remember any children? Yes, Charlie, who does he meet? A goat in a boat, yes, with no sail. So he gives him his shirt. Gives him his shirt. And then he meets someone, anyone else? He meets some mice who need a home, so they get a shoe. There we go. Their house is burnt down, so get a shoe. And then there's a fox, I think, who needs a sleeping bag, so he gets a sock, and then there's a belt that uses a path. And by the end of it, poor George is like, he's no longer the smartest man in town. And the next slide, we can't quite see it, but his whole trousers are falling down. And there he is. And so you can see his boxer shorts. And I'd say we probably all know people a bit like George who are loving, don't we? People who have loved us in the way that George was very loving to the giraffe and the fox. I wonder, children, can you think about who it is that loves you? Who loves you most? I think about people who have been so kind to me and given me things. They've bought me things, maybe as presents, or they've given me time. People who maybe have prayed for me. People who've opened up their life to me and helped in any way they can. Because we know those things are what love is. Love is when you give something to help others. And that really is love, and it's a reflection of what God is like. Because God, we learn in John chapter 1, John 4, 10, gave us, just look what he gave us, verse 10, he sent his son. He sent his son. And he sent his son to die on a cross. And we might think, well, why? Why did I need him to send Jesus to die on a cross? I can see why the giraffe needed a scarf for his cold neck. Why did I need God to send his son to die? Well, think of it like this. Imagine you come round to my house, okay? You come round, and I'm very glad you've come. And I tell you what, everyone's invited, and I've just spent months cooking the best food I can, favorite, whatever it is, chips and fish fingers and you name it, whatever you want. We've got it there. We've even got an ice cream van just parked up outside that you don't have to pay for. Just get as much ice cream as you want. We've mowed the lawn, perfect football pitch if needed, trampoline. We hired a bouncy castle and best kind of TV, anything you want to watch, and you can just enjoy everything, and stay for as long as you want, and maybe you're very polite, you treat other people with kindness, but whenever I come, whenever I approach, well, you kind of turn away from me, you know, if I speak to you, you put your hands over your ears. So could you just, if I come towards you now, could you just turn away from me, like, oh, Phoebe, oh, hi, Andrew, oh. Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling a bit sad now. Yeah, it's a bit like this emoji, isn't it? Nah, talk to the hand. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to. Now, would that be okay if you did that? Would that be an okay thing to do? Would that be perhaps just, well, okay, maybe not okay, but it's just a bit small. It's a small thing. You know, you've been very polite when you're there, but you just didn't want to talk to me. Well, know that. That would be really, really rude, wouldn't it? It doesn't matter how polite you are to other people in my place. If you wanted nothing, that is no way to treat the host. Now, here is the thing. That silly little illustration is a tiny, tiny, tiny window into how all of us treat God. Because anyone who lives in this universe, anyone who lives on this world, is enjoying God's hospitality. We're in his home. We're his guests. Everything we have is given to us by him. All the smells and the sights and the sounds, the tastes we get, the experiences. Okay, if you put your hand, can you feel your heart beating? If you feel your heart beating there? Every heartbeat. You know, biological processes at work, but God is giving us every heartbeat, every breath, every good night's sleep we have is from him. And yet, basically, for much of the time, we say to God, we don't want to know you. Nah. We're like this. Nah. That, and we say, we turn away from him, and we live as though he doesn't exist, and this world is basically about me and my family, me and my children. Or me and my, whatever it is, my world, and we want everything to be at the center. That is what we are naturally like. Now, wonderfully, if we are Christian and we trust in Jesus, God puts his spirit in us and he changes us so that we love him more and more each day. But that's what we're naturally like. And that's really why there's so much that's wrong with this world. So much sadness and pain and things that are going wrong is because people have said, we don't want you, God. We want to live for ourselves. Now, God won't let this continue. He won't stand for it. He doesn't just sort of sit back and smile and say, oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. It's fine. No, he's rightly angered by our sin. And by the way, we're rejecting him. And because he is just, He said, I must hold you to account for what you have done. So what we find in the Bible is God here, we see God, and the big picture of God is a God who loves his people. He loves, he loves, he loves, but he is angered at the way he is treated. So what does he do? How does this God who loves, yet is treated so badly, how can this end well? Well, the one answer is this one word we see in 1 John 4:10, atonement, or a sacrifice of atonement. Time and again in the Old Testament, what we see is God calling on his people to make sacrifices. And so an Israelite would have to say, well, look, I know God loves me, but I deserve judgment for the way I treat him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get an animal, maybe a goat, all kinds of different animals, but there's a particular day called the Day of Atonement when you would take a couple of goats, and one of them would die. And you say, this goat, we're going to cut its throat, and it's going to die as a substitute for me. It is going to face judgment, so I don't have to. Now, that is how it operated for hundreds of years. And then one day, God sent his son, born to Mary in Bethlehem. And he grew up about 33 years old. And then he went to his death on a cross when he had done absolutely nothing more, nothing wrong. Why did he have to die? To take the punishment that we deserve for turning away from God. Now that is love, says the Bible. You want to know what love is? That is it. We're going to sing a song in a minute. Amazing love. How can it be that, oh my God, should die for me? God sent his own son to die for us, to take his anger that we might be forgiven. Now, the question we asked at the start is, what is the best symbol of love? What is love? Is the heart the symbol of love? In a way, of course it is. Brilliant. It's a great way of saying, I feel crazy about you, and you send a heart. But Easter time show us really the truest symbol of love, the truest emoji, you want to say, is this. It's a cross. Because at Easter, we're remembering that God loves us. You could say that this is the festival of love. You know, not Valentine's Day, not Mother's Day, not any anniversary you might celebrate or a birthday or anything like that. No, none of those days come even close. Because this is the day on Good Friday, when we will remember that no matter how life is going at the moment, no matter how hard life feels, or how lonely we might feel, or how badly treated and unloved we might feel, this is the day when we remember that we are incredibly loved. We are loved by God. He sent his son to die for us. It's a fabulous day. And I just want to say a word to us here. If we've been a Christian for some time, we can think about Easter as, yeah, great. It's the moment when everything comes together. It's the kind of, it's the middle piece of the puzzle. And we can sort of think it in a kind of mathematical way. Everything was pointing forward to this moment when Jesus died that we might be forgiven. Exactly, yes. But more than that, it shows us that God's heart beats with love for all of us. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed that you are a God who loves us in our sin. You don't love us when we get everything right and perfect and sorted out. You love us when we hated you. And we thank you, Father, that you're a God who is just and do care about wrongdoing. But we are amazed because you sent your Son to die as an atoning sacrifice that we might be freely forgiven. How we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.